Hey there, folks. Welcome to Rock and Rally Tennis, where it's all tennis, all the time. I'm James Lynn. Follow us on Twitter at Rock and Rally. That's rock underscore and underscore rally. And on Facebook at facebook.com/rockandrallytennis. Rock and Rally Tennis podcast episode number 97 is brought to you by careerwonder.com, the ultimate career resource site featuring video interviews of professionals from a wide array of industries. Sharing the stories, journeys, and insights about their careers and jobs at careerwonder.com. You know, as with virtually all sports, tennis is seeing its share of new wrinkles being introduced to the game. One of these changes is permitting on-court coaching, which historically has not been allowed. In this podcast, I'd like to share a few viewpoints and comments about on-court coaching. So, a little background on this topic. The WTA has allowed on-court coaching since 2009. The current WTA rule, which does not apply at the Grand Slams, allows for one on-court coaching visit per set. Prior to this year's U.S. Open, on-court coaching was not allowed on the ATP Tour or at the Grand Slams. This year, the organizers of the U.S. Open experimented with on-court coaching during qualifying rounds, allowing coaches to talk to players from the stands whenever the player and coach were sitting on the same end of the court, and when the coach was on the other end, the coaches were allowed to use hand signals to communicate with their players. Now, by now, we've all heard the rationale for allowing on-court coaching. Proponents of on-court coaching have made the argument that other sports allow in-game coaching. In addition, there is the rationalization that permitting on-court coaching would simply be legalizing and resolving the often blatant illegal coaching from the stands that already has gone on for years and has long been a challenge for chair umpires to monitor. Last and certainly not least is the case that tennis needs to find more ways to make the fan experience more immersive. In this particular case, by miking up the coach during an on-court coaching visit, thereby letting fans in on in-match communications between coach and player. Now, I guess I'm old school when it comes to this particular topic, so needless to say, I am not in favor of on-court coaching. I strongly believe tennis is a combative and individualistic sport. Once a player steps onto the court and begins the match, that player should problem-solve the opponent and manage emotions and nerves on his or her own. Self-reliance has always been one of the unique and charming aspects of tennis that differentiates it from other sports. Permitting on-court coaching as it stands currently fundamentally compromises the very essence of tennis in a number of ways that does not help move the sport forward, in my view. It also raises other concerns and potential issues. There is the potential for a player to become over-reliant on the coach during a match for, well, just about everything, from adjusting tactics to playing therapist during moments of high stress or pressure. While we do see coaches serve in these roles during game time in other sports, well, tennis is not like other sports and should not be under any pressure to conform in this regard. I strongly believe a player's ability to problem solve, make adjustments, stay calm and even keel during a match is an essential part of the player's skill set. If the player cannot handle this on his or her own, then, well, that's too bad. That's part of the game. On-court coaching may also unintentionally spotlight the wide resource gap that exists between players who are resource-rich versus those who are resource-challenged. Speaking on the topic of on-court coaching, even Federer acknowledged that not everybody has the same amount of resources for coaching. So I'm just not sure how having this highlighted is something that benefits the sport. Then there's the issue of TMI, or too much information. I'm referring to those personal moments where, in the heat of battle, things are said out of emotion, like anger, frustration, for example, between a player and coach that should really stay private, between the two and not beamed into everyone's living rooms for entertainment value. While meltdowns and conflicts in sports are unavoidable and something we see frequently these days, I agree with Hall of Famer Lindsay Davenport when she opined earlier this year whether this is the best way to market tennis. I don't believe it is. Lastly, and this is something no one has really talked about, yet I believe it is one of the more important considerations when it comes to saying no to allowing on-court coaching. The last thing tennis needs is to allow coaches to become the main headline or story of a match and turn the match into a circus environment. If left unchecked, I believe it's simply a matter of time before coaches, knowing they are mic'd up and also within earshot of the opposing player, take it upon themselves to try to get into the head of the opposing player by making inappropriate remarks or not so subtle comments about the opposing player during an on-court coaching visit with their own player. Comments by coaches can, of course, run the gamut, going beyond obvious brash commentary about opposing players. Now, we've already seen examples of candid comments during coaching visits whereby those comments made under the pretense of coaching advice to a player can be easily perceived as thinly veiled jabs at the opposing player. During an on-court coaching visit in a WTA match this summer, the coach of this top 25 player was attempting to inject some confidence and self-belief into his player by reminding her of her superior skills and athletic talents. Part of his coaching advice and comments included something along the lines of, well, the opposing player not being able to stay with his player athletically, and so on. While this may have been an accurate assessment and reasonable advice to give to his player, again, the coach is fully aware that he is mic'd up and within earshot of the opposing player. Look, I'm all for gamesmanship, but in my view, that should be left player versus player and not coach versus opposing player. Hypothetically, and a more extreme example, can you imagine the coach of a player who was locked in a battle with Maria Sharapova making off-putting comments about meldonium during an on-court coaching visit? You get the idea. The main headlines of any match should be about the players and not the coaches. Tennis should do what it can to avoid this potential locker room bulletin board type scenario. In my view, the arguments in favor of permitting on-court coaching are weak. I'm all for the sport of tennis looking to improve the quality of competition and overall experience for the players and fans, but I just don't see how a net gain to the sport can be realized in this manner, because it comes at the expense of compromising fundamental aspects of the game that has helped make tennis unique and charming versus other sports. As it stands currently, I implore those who are entrusted to take care of and further the sport of tennis to just say no to on-court coaching. Well, that's all for this episode, folks. Thanks for joining us at Rock and Rally Tennis. Please subscribe to our podcast at rockandrallytennis.com. I'm James Lynn. See you next time.